Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 18. When you find it, please stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to, would you please stand? Give you a chance to stretch your legs. Acts 20, verse number 18. We'll read just a few verses here. The Bible says this. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I have kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And let's pray. Our Father, we love you. We just ask that you please meet with us tonight in a special way. Speak to hearts. God, give me clarity of thought and of words. I pray that I would only say the things that would be pleasing and honoring to you. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus. And I pray that he would shine forth in the message tonight. If there's one here that's not saved, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd work in their heart. And before the service is over, I ask, God, that you touch them and they'd be willing to receive you as Savior. And they can go from this place knowing that they have a home in heaven and a relationship with you. We love you and we thank you for what you're going to do in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have to admit to you that normally when I preach a message, like all good Baptist preachers, I preach my text, my introduction. I'll have three nice alliterated points and maybe even some subpoints, and then a conclusion to wrap it all up. And I like outlining things like that. Tonight's message is not really that. The Lord gave this to me, and I really couldn't find a good way to outline it like that. So it's definitely not one of my more polished messages, but it's a truth that God has to work on my heart with every day of my life. And I don't think any of us will ever master this, but I do pray every day that God would help me to be just a little bit more in this area, what he wants me to be. The Apostle Paul is the writer here in Acts chapter 20, as we read verses 18 through 24. And verse number 24 is really where we're looking at tonight. And there's a powerful statement that is made by Paul at the beginning of that verse, Acts 20 and 24. You know, as I think about Bible characters all throughout the Word of God, many times I associate a Bible character, I think about a Bible character, and often a powerful statement or a phrase that they made in their lifetime is closely associated with them. Like, for instance, when I think about David, the character David, King David, almost automatically, I think about David as he's there about to face Goliath, as he says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And we say, that's a powerful statement in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul throughout the New Testament has many such powerful statements that when we think about Paul, we think about different things that he says. But if there's one statement that really, to me, when I think about Paul, I think about this statement that he made. We find in Acts 20, verse 24, the first phrase there, he says, but none of these things move me. I'm often amazed by that phrase, but none of these things move me. I've heard messages preached on that phrase, but none of these things move me. When I was in Bible college, our vice president of the school, Dr. Jim Jorgensen, preaches a powerful message on that same phrase, but none of these things move me. And I've listened to that many times. And I would love to get up here tonight, and I'm sure you're all anticipating me to preach on that phrase, but none of these things move me. But I'm actually going to skip that phrase. And I'm going to look at the one right after that, that sometimes in my Bible reading I might not think quite as much about or might skip over. But as it says, but none of these things move me, after he says that phrase, he also says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And I was reading my Bible one morning. God brought me to this verse of Scripture. and brought that phrase to my attention like he had never done before. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. You know, the reason Paul could say, none of these things move me, the first phrase, is because of the second phrase, neither count I my life dear unto myself. When Paul said, none of these things move me, what was he talking about? What are these things? If you read in the previous verses, as we did, he talks about the trials, the temptations. He talks about the bonds and the afflictions. The Apostle Paul suffered much in his Christian life for the cause of Christ. Many times as American Christians, we think, boy, we're really going through tribulation right now. And we're really feeling persecuted right now. And as one preacher said, hey, you know, the first century church, they weren't worried about losing their tax exempt status. They were worried about losing their heads. They really knew what persecution was like in that first century church. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned many times, was shipwrecked many times, was beaten many times. Stripes was laid on his back. He was mocked and scorned many times and ordered by the authorities not to preach the name of Christ again. Many times throughout his life, he suffered much for the cause of Christ. And he says, but none of these things move me. And I read that and say, wow. What a great Christian. None of them move. I mean, nothing moves you, Paul. How can you say that? He says, well, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now, that was kind of odd the first time I really came across it, where Paul says that my life is not dear to me. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And I thought about what he said there. My life. My life. Now, I think to most of us, my life, that's pretty dear to me. I mean, really, and it's nothing wrong with, I think, with thinking that my life is something special and something dear to me. It's kind of strange that Paul would say, or seems to say, it's not that valuable to me. I don't count it that dear to me. You know, my life and your life is the first possession that God gives to us at birth, and it's the last possession that we'll lose at death. Go to the book of Job chapter 1 with me. Job chapter 1. Look at verse number 21. Job chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says this. This is Job speaking. He says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Job was saying here, I came into this world with nothing but one thing, my life. That's all I had. Nothing else. And when I leave this world, I'll go out with nothing. The last thing I'll have is my life. That's it. Truly, my life is the first and greatest possession that God gives me. Why is it that the Apostle Paul would say, neither count I my life dear unto me? Well, yes, our life is a great possession, but we have to understand that my life is not perfect. It does have some flaws. You know, my life is a temporal life. We are all allotted a certain time here on earth. I don't know how long it is. I had a great uncle that lived to be 103 years old. That's a pretty long life. I've got a great grandpa that's still alive today. He lives in Tuscaloosa. And this month he's turning 95. That's a pretty good long life. I've had friends that have gone on to be with the Lord at 16 years old, 20 years old, didn't live very long. My life, no matter how long it is, we all know that it's temporal. Our life here on earth is temporal. Look at Psalm chapter 90, just one book over there from Job. Psalm chapter 90. Look at verse number 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. The Bible says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Hey, our life is temporal. Now, that was not God's original plan. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, it was His intention that they would live there forever, and earth would be a perfect place. I mean, you talk about heaven on earth. You read about the Garden of Eden. That was heaven on earth. And God expected them to live forever, and their descendants to live forever, and to be in constant relationship and fellowship with God in that perfect environment. That was God's plan. But of course, we know that sin came into the world. And that sin brought death into the world. Whereas by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin has brought death into our life. Sin has made our life on earth temporal. From the moment we're born, we are born dead inside. We're already dead from the time we're born. Like a prisoner on death row, just awaiting the day when our life on earth is ended. In the New Testament, James says that our life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. Just like that. It's here and it's gone. Think about my life in comparison to all of eternity. It's not very long. It's not very long. My life is temporal. My life is tarred and is tarnished by sin. There are some flaws with my life. So I start to understand a little bit better when Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Paul looks at his life and he says, my life here on earth is temporal. My life here on earth is scarred and marred by sin. My life isn't as dear to me as I thought it once was. Look at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. I know it's a bit of a lengthy introduction, but stay with me. I think you're going to like where we're going. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, the Bible says, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Boy, that's us from the time we're born, dead and trespassing in sin. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, notice that, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, that is a sin-tarnished life. That is what my life looks like. Sin has brought ruin and destruction and death to my life. And when my temporal life ends here on earth, according to the Bible, without Christ, my death-covered, sin-tainted soul will spend all of eternity in a lake of fire. My life, that's how it ends. Oh, listen, Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. But let me tell you, it doesn't end there. Hey, thank God where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm glad that the book of Ephesians, verse chapter 2 there, doesn't end in verse number 3. Look at verse number 4, Ephesians 2, verse 4. Paul goes on to write and he says this, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hey, listen, when I came into this world, when I was born in this world, August the 14th, 1996, I came into this sin-scarred creation. My life, it was ruined from the get-go. And my life was temporal on this earth. And my life was scarred by sin on this earth. Hey, but I'm glad that I had a new birth when I was 6 years old. And when I got that new birth, I became a part of a new creation. And a new creature was formed in me. And I got a new life. When Paul was saying, neither count of my life dear unto myself, he wasn't talking about his new life in Christ. He was talking about his temporal life. You see, Paul said, hey, you can beat me. You can throw me in prison. I can stand the shipwrecks. I can stand the beatings. I can stand the scourging, because I know the only thing that they're going to hurt is my life, because they can never touch the eternal life of Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hey, listen, when I got saved, a new life came into me. Yes, I still have the old life. Yes, I still got my life. I still got the flesh. But hey, thanks be to God, the new man that is in me is not a cleaned up version of Braxton Jackson. The new man that is in me is Christ. I have the eternal life of Christ. Hey, I am what I am by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul said. Paul understood the only thing that's good in me is what Jesus put there. Hey, when you got saved, the eternal life of Christ moved into you, and the only thing good in you and the only thing good in me is what Jesus put there. So Paul could say, hey, my life, it's not worth very much anymore when I compare it to the eternal life of Christ. Though my life is temporary, His life is eternal. John chapter 3, verse 16, we know the verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The life of Christ is everlasting. It lasts forever. Hey, and listen, here's the good news, folks. You don't have to, you're not waiting to get to heaven to get your everlasting life. When you got saved and the life of Jesus moved in you, you're living everlasting life right now in the life of Christ. And let me tell you something. If God gives you something and He says it's everlasting, then you can't lose it. Because if you lose it, then it was never everlasting to begin with. But God gives us everlasting life. Life that is pure and righteous. It's His life. So it's His righteousness. It's His purity. And when I look at my life and all the things that I used to live for, and it doesn't seem like it's worth very much anymore when I look at the eternal life of Christ that is in me. The new man that is in me. Hey, listen, I don't have to worry about my salvation because my salvation is as strong as the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the grave for me. So I don't have to worry about those things because my salvation is the life of Christ. Salvation is not an object that you try to hold on to really tight and hope you don't let go. Salvation is my soul being placed in the eternal life of Christ. And I am a joint heir with Him. Praise the Lord. Now, Paul gets to this point in his life. He's looking back at everything he's been through. He says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. You see, Paul had a choice to make every day of his life. Who was he going to be? Was he going to be Saul of Tarsus? Or was he going to be the Apostle Paul? Was he going to live as the old man? Or was he going to live as the new man? Was he going to live for my life? Or was he going to live for the life of Jesus Christ? You know what Paul's answer was? Paul looked himself in the mirror every morning. He said, I die daily. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, I die daily. He said, I'm not living for Saul of Tarsus anymore. I'm living as the Apostle Paul. I'm not living for the old man anymore. I'm living for the new man. Hey, I'm not living for me and all the religious things I can do to make myself look good. I'm living for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm not living for my life. And it's sad to say that many Christians today, we look at our life and we say, well, it's the music that I want to listen to. It's the way that I want to dress. It's the friends that I want to hang out with. It's the places I want to go. Hey, no, we've been bought with a price. I'm not living for my stuff anymore. I'm living for eternal things. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through or steal. Hey, listen, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Sure, go ahead. Live for your life. Live for all the hobbies you want to have. Live for all the money you want to make. But I'm telling you, friend, it's not going to last forever. It's going to be gone one day. And then we're going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to say, what did you do with my life? Not your life. What did you do with mine? Don't live for the temporal. Why would you want to live for death when you can live for life? Why would you live for temporal and things that don't last when you can live for something eternal and last forever? Hey, every time you reach a man or woman, a boy and girl with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's something that lasts forever. You're investing in something eternal. You're investing in the eternal life of Christ. Paul said, I die daily. He said, hey, it doesn't matter. No matter what they try to do to me, all they're affecting is my old life. They might hurt this flesh, but they can't take away my salvation. They didn't give it and they can't take it away. It's in Jesus Christ and it's in His eternal life. So every day of my life, me, Braxton Jackson, I have to ask myself the question, who am I going to be today? Who am I going to be today? You know who my worst enemy is? Me. I am my worst enemy. The guy I look in the mirror every morning, that's my worst enemy. You know what I have to say? It's not about me anymore. It's about the life of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's whole life. I mean, you read throughout everything that Paul wrote. That was his life right there. Romans chapter 12, he said, it is our reasonable service to be a living sacrifice. My life. People often, as a child growing up and going to those missions conferences that my dad would hold, I'd look at those missionaries and I would think, wow, they're really giving up a lot. Boy, I'd look at those missionaries and I'd think, man, I don't know if I could ever be like that. I mean, wow, they're sacrificing so much. Now I'm on this side of it. Elizabeth and I are going to the mission field. And I'll be honest with you. When I look at my life, we really don't feel like we're making a big sacrifice. We don't think about, boy, we're really giving up something big. Hey, we're living the most incredible life we could ever imagine. Just knowing that you're in the center of the will of God, That's the happiest, most peaceful place to be. And it's worth it. Investing in something eternal. And listen, till the day I die, every morning I wake up, I'm going to look at myself in the mirror and I've got to decide, who am I living for today? My life, the temporal things, death, or am I going to invest in something eternal and it'll last forever? It's really a no-brainer when you think of it that way. Now, that's easy preaching and hard living, as they used to say. But I tell you what, when you get to the other side, you say, it's worth it. It's worth it. I always had a desire at an early age to travel. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel. That was in me. I wanted to travel. And, you know, I think about I've got friends in our church. They're businessmen, and they've worked their career all their life, and they're getting to the place now where their company is sending them on these trips around the world. And, you know, somebody was saying earlier how God will give you the desires of your heart. I've been able to go on several missions trips now. I've seen the world, or parts of it anyway. I wasn't investing in me, in my life. I just said, Lord, I'm just going to invest in your work and what you want me to do. And God does give you the desires of your heart. And it is the greatest life you could ever live. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have a word of prayer. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd like you to think about this during the invitation time. You know, this is my prayer. Lord, who am I living for today? When I make a decision, am I deciding it because it'll benefit my life or because it'll benefit eternity? The eternal life of Christ. That's my prayer. I ask that the Lord would speak to all of our hearts. Help us to be more like Jesus. John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, you know what, there's too much of me in me and not enough Jesus in me. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the service we've had.